Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today. Tonight, I would like to let's go and share some thoughts. Karen and I had a wonderful time in Bulgaria and Romania. So all of our brothers and sisters in Bulgaria and Romania, we send our love and thank you very much for taking such great care of us. So as we come to the end of 2014, and usually at the end of every year, I like to kind of get away with God for a while, especially in December, the last week or so of December. I kind of like to just to kind of close down and just get away with God so that He can kind of let me know what's going to be happening in the next year to come. Well, I think that has already started in November, and so God has just been impressing some things upon me and that have to do with beholding His glory. And I'm not sure, I do not know all the details, but I just, in my spirit, and I've shared this with Karen and some other people, but in my spirit, I can just see some things changing with beholding His glory. And that's kind of a good thing, because I believe God puts things in us, and He teaches us things so that we can be useful in the next thing that He has for us. And so if there's not something next for us to move into, well then maybe we're not doing what we need to be doing. And so anyways, again, I don't know what the details are, but I just feel that in my spirit that there will be some changes for beholding His glory for 2015. And so I'm just along for the ride, whatever he would want there. And just the last note, I just want to thank everybody that listens over the internet, because as I was saying earlier, we had I think it's 127,000 plus hits so far in November, and we still got December to go. So people are listening, and I just thank you very much. Amen. Tonight, let's go ahead and let's continue to look at wilderness truths for modern times. And tonight will be number 17. And that's just amazing. Number 17 means we've been having this for 17 months. And it's just amazing as the Lord just meets us and the truths that the Lord has been working with us. And as a custom of what we do, let's go ahead and just look at what we looked at last month. And three very important points, and then we will look at what the Lord would have for us for lesson number 17. And that first point is the closer we get to our conquest, the rougher the training is. Now remember, we're in the wilderness of sin. And that's not, you know, sin where, you know, we've fallen short of the glory of God or we've missed the mark. But this is the wilderness of sin. And the wilderness of sin is the making place for soldiers. The making place for soldiers. And this is where the children of Israel were made into soldiers. And so they could go out and they could conquest in the eight battles that they had in the 40 years. Because once they crossed the Jordan River, they had over 30 battles the first year that they had to win. And so God had to make them into soldiers. And this is where God began to work in their life and make them into soldiers. Amen. And the closer we get to our conquest, no matter what it is in our life, the tougher the training is. In the wilderness of sin, God was concentrating on training them. And the tougher, the tougher we get to our victory or our conquest, the tougher God is going to be training us into areas. And it's a very, very important point in our life. Amen. The second point, we are made for the valleys. We are made for the valleys, not for the mountaintops. Oh no, we are made for the valleys, the broken bread, near where God can be near us and where God can break us and mold us. And we like the mountaintops; those are wonderful. But God really has made us for the valleys, where He can come and sup with us and get us alone and work in our life. And the last point. Of the three points I'd like to look at is about evil. And evil is not a destroying nature to us. Last month we looked at that. Evil is not a destroying nature to us, but it is to the one that it originates in. But it is from the one who originates in. And we're going to look at that point a little more a little later. Amen. Amen. James 5:13, Wilderness Truths from Modern Times. James 5:13, wonderful verse says, if any among you be afflicted, let him pray. If any merry, let him sing songs. Hopefully, we learn to pray in afflictions and trouble. Amen? Yeah. Hopefully, we will learn to pray in afflictions and trouble. The children of Israel, they murmured in their afflictions. Let others murmur. Let us pray. Learn to pray in afflictions rather than practicing murmuring. Murmuring won't do you any good. It will only do you damage. Let me say that again. Murmuring will only do you damage. It will destroy you. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Is that murmuring? No, that's prayer. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things, like murmuring and unbelief and disobedience. In Matthew 12:36, it continues, Jesus says here, but I say unto you that every idle word, now I like that, you know, I like that word, it says idle word. You know what that word idle means? It means every word in passing. Every word in passing. So when we're idle, it's every idle word or every word in passing that we think have no significance to it. There's no significance, and we think these words have no significance, but it says every idle word that man speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wow. Murmuring. There are words that destroy. The destruction is from within. The destruction is from within. It is not from without. Never from without. And it came from without. Or if it came from without, then we wouldn't stand a chance. We must take heed to the words we speak. Amen. We must take, the Bible tells us that life and death is in the power of our tongue. So we must be careful the words we speak. Because the words that we speak comes from within and it comes out. And evil itself cannot destroy us. It only destroys the one that it originates from. And it always originates from within. It originates from within. And so we have to be very, very careful. We must take heed to the words we speak. How many people in this room right here still suffer under words like, you're a failure, you're never going to amount to anything, or even, I wish you would have never been born? How many people listening over the internet have had those words spoke over their lives? Christians that still battle. One of the last day of, I know it was on a Thursday, we were talking about emotions and stuff in the Bible school. And many of the remaining Bible school students was still battling words and things that happened to them that were spoken to them as a child. And we just had to kind of like just go through that and just allow the Holy Spirit to touch their lives. Because words have power. Words have power, and we must take heed to the words that we speak. Amen? It's very, very important. Out from the heart, and that's where it is. Jesus says that is, it is not that what enters into the stomach that defiles a man. It is what comes out of the heart that defiles the man. You know, the church today is so hung up on touch not and taste not and wine and this and that and all of these things. And or if you eat this or if you eat that, well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of its mouth. Because evil originates in that one, and that is destroying to that one that evil originates. Because evil in itself cannot destroy us, right? Because we are in the hands of God. There it is, our destruction, and that's where it is. In affliction we learn to endure and give the expression which God desires. Out from that good heart. We learn to keep our mouth shut in the dust. Wow. We must take heed. We must take heed to the words that we speak. And we must learn to keep our mouth in the dust. Lamentations 3:29 is a wonderful verse. And it says, it is good for he who is young to take the yoke of the Lord when he is young and to keep his mouth in the dust. Lamentations 3:29. It is very, very important that we learn to measure our words and keep our mouth in the dust. Because, you know, there's not much talking when your face is down there in the dust. There's not a lot of talking down there. And so we need to learn to keep our mouth in the dust and know when to speak and when not to speak. Because if not, then we'll be saying a lot of things we do not need to be saying. We learn to lean also on our beloved then. When we can learn to keep our mouth in the dust, when we can learn how to measure our words, then we'll be able to learn to lean upon our beloved. Song of Solomon 8:5 says, "Who is he coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon his beloved?" Our beloved is Jesus. And when we can learn to measure our words, when we can learn to be careful with what we say, then we'll be able to learn to lean upon our beloved in the wilderness. Not in the mountaintops, not in those good times, but in these very difficult times in our life. Paul wrote to Timothy, and we looked at this verse last month, endure hardship, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Paul was telling Timothy that there is a difference between a good soldier and a poor soldier. A good soldier will endure the pressures, the hardships, and the afflictions, and bear up under all kind of difficulties. A poor soldier will not. A good soldier will maintain his faith in God, always believing in him and continuing in obedience to him. A poor soldier will not. Keep your eyes open and you can tell the quality of a soldier. Amen? That's a very important point. Keep your eyes open and you'll be able to tell the quality of a soldier, because God does. We are to keep our eyes open and see who is doing what and saying what. Yes, we are to keep our eyes open. We are to see what is going on. We are to have that dove's eye, that single vision, so that we can see and hear what's going on, because God is doing that. Amen. Again, in the wilderness of sin is the making of Marines, is the making of soldiers, is the place that God is working in our life. Amen. God will provide. And that's a wonderful truth that must grip our heart. It must grip our heart. And that is something that is something we just keep learning again, or maybe it's just me, but it's something that I keep learning again and again and again, that God will provide. God will provide. And we must allow that truth to grip our heart. We must allow that, and we must come to believe that, that God will provide everything that is needed for his soldiers. Amen. Everything. Your boss doesn't provide you anything. Your wife doesn't provide you anything, or your husband doesn't provide you anything. No one provides you anything. Only God. God is the one that, I know you go out and you work and you do all of those things, but God provides everything in our life. Everything we get comes from God. Amen? And we must come to believe this. This is a spiritual truth that, I mean, it must become a part of us. It must grip our life to the point that we only look to God. You know, we think that we go to work and we get a paycheck and stuff like that. But God gives us the strength. He gives us the, you know, everything we get comes from God. Our job, our spouse, whatever. But God and God alone, he provides everything for us. The wonderful verse here in Exodus 16:4, it says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain, a certain rate every day, that I may prove them." Now, wait a minute. So God caused the manna to fall from heaven so that they could eat and live, right? No. That's not why God did that. Now, we would think, well, yeah, and God did do that. He gave them manna from heaven, you know, and they ate that. And you know what manna is in the Greek? Manna means, it means, what is this? That's what manna means. It means, what is this? And that's what the children of Israel said. They said, what is this? It's manna. What is this? But this is the food that God gave them in the wilderness of sin. This was the food that God gave them. God provides everything. God gave them food, heavenly food. What is this? They gave them manna. That was their diet for training. That was their meal. That was their rations, you know, for all of us military folks. You know, we understand that. But he gave that to them not so that they could live. Yeah, they live, but the Bible says here, that I may prove them. That word prove there means to test them, to qualify them, to see if they can follow my instructions, to see if they have learned something. Because training always comes with a time of proving. No matter what you do in your life, in your training, there's going to come a time when the training is going to be over And then the test will come to see if you have learned what you've been trained about. And that's what God was doing here. He gave them food, yes, for them to live, but he wanted to prove them, he wanted to test them, he wanted to qualify them to see if they will walk in my law or not. Wow, isn't that amazing? That is amazing. God's provision always comes with obedience. And of course, we know in the story, on Fridays, they got double portion, because on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, if they gathered food, then it was worm eating, and they couldn't eat it. So on Friday, they had to get double. But God wanted to see if they are learning the lessons. And that's because God's provision always comes with obedience. Now, that is a key point tonight. And you can bet we're going to talk about that next month also. Because no matter what we get from God, if God provides everything to us, we get everything from God, not because of how good-looking we are and smart and handsome and have all these abilities. That's not why God gives us things. God gives us things, one reason, out of our obedience. Our obedience. Obedience always moves God's heart. Obedience always moves God's heart. And God's provision, he gives us things, always comes out of his obedience. Amen. God will provide for you as a soldier, whether you are simply in training or in exhausting conquest. Do you believe that? That God will provide for you. I mean, it's key. Whether you're in training or in conquest, when you're enlist in the Marines, you do not go to basic training or to boot camp on your own expense, do you, Brother Billy? When you went to the Army, did they say, "Well, okay, now you pay your way down there"? And no way. They paid away. God funds all of our training. How about that? God provides everything. So now I'm going to kind of look at boot camp here, and we're going to look at the way God provides, okay? God provides all of our training. God provides everything. He provides everything. He provides all of our training. That's one thing that always amazes me about our trips, is God always provides for our trips. I usually don't have to pay out of the money to run my household and stuff like that. God usually, I mean, almost 9 times out of 10, will provide whatever I need. Like, for example, there was another brother supposed to go with us to Bulgaria and Romania. Well, anyways, I'll leave that alone. But anyways, Karen stepped up. And when I let that know and that Karen was going to be gone, a brother sent me a check for $1,500. Wow. And said, "Here, I want to pay for Karen's airplane ticket." Wow. I didn't ask him. I didn't ask anybody. All I said was, "This guy's not gone, and now Karen's going to go, and I was going to have to pay out of my own pocket." But he said, "No. Now, I want to pay for that." And God paid for that. He pays for everything.
Praise the Lord.
And what I like about this is a leading of God. This is a leading. If God is not paying, maybe I don't need to be going. Because maybe it's not my idea. If I pay, it's my idea. But if God pays, then it's his idea. Then it's his responsibility to take me to India, and Brother Daryl to India, and bring us back. Amen?
Yes.
It's his idea. It's his responsibility. He pays for everything, you know? So anyways, and that is the leading I won't say all of our trips, but RSA, you know, a lot of our trips as we go, he pays for that. He pays for our training. Everything is provided. But what is provided? Your transportation to boot camp is provided. Once at boot camp, you decide you need a car. They decide you don't. Am I right?
Yeah.
I need a car. No, you don't need no car. You think you have... Amen? You think you need a big bowl of ice cream before you go to bed. They think that you don't. You don't see the necessity for immunization shots. They see it. You don't understand why you need to rise up out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. They understand why. They decide what you need on your training program. You don't. God gets to decide what we need in our training program. God gets to decide. We don't get to decide what we need in our training program. God provides everything that we need in our training program. That's God's decision. That's not our decision. We don't get any input in that. God knows what He's doing. He provides everything, and even in our training. And again, here we're in the wilderness of sin, where the children of Israel are being trained to become warriors so they could go in conquest. Well, it's the same thing in our life. We must come to know that God provides everything, and God gets to pick the training program. He gets to, you know, pick the modes for training, and we don't have any input in that. Amen. Because God knows what He wants us to be at the end of our training. Yes. If we think we can influence that training and we want to be this, so we're going to do this or that, then we will not become what God wants us to be at the end of the training. So God has a training program for us, and He provides all the things that we need, and He gets to pick the training because He wants us to be a certain soldier or a certain person or whatever at the end of our training. We do not even get to pick what we want to look like at the end of our training, because what we want will not help us what God wants us to become. God's sense of the training needs many different and may differ from the trainee's sense of the need. God all at times provides the soldier in training with the things which are necessary in his training. But whatever the needs are, God will provide it for His soldiers. The soldiers did not provide it for Himself. 1 Corinthians 9:7, wonderful verse, says, "Who goes to warfare at any time on his own charges?" We wouldn't go into battle, I mean, you know, paying for our own weapons, would we? Well, no. God provides that. Now, who would do that? Who plants a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? God provides all that. We must allow this truth to grip our heart that God, you know, provides for us. He gives us whatever we need to fulfill that which He wants us to become. We don't get to choose what we want to become. And God, you can't do what you want to do. Let me say that again. That's why I told, many churches in Romania and Bulgaria, and God, you can't say what you want to say and do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go and come to the plan and the purpose God has for our life. It is limitations and restrictions in our life bring us to fulfillment and not freedom and liberties. The church today is liberty and freedom, and yes, I can go, and wrong, you can't. It's restrictions and limitations that bring us to fulfillment. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leadeth to life. The broad way leadeth to death and destruction. The broad way. The freedom. Freedom, I can go, I can do it. No, it is restrictions and limitations as we walk in the restricted limitations of what God has said to us and what the Word of God says, how we can walk and how we can talk and the things we can do. As we walk in those ways, then we'll be able to come to completion and fulfillment in our life. But if we think we can go and do whatever we want to do and say whatever we want to say and come to the plan and the purpose that God has for our life, we are deceiving ourselves, because it will not happen. It's limitations and restrictions in God, doing what God has asked us to do, what His Word tells us to do, what He speaks to us. Very, very important in our life for us to come to do that. Amen? That truth must grip our hearts. God is training His soldiers how to survive and how to live. Wow, how to live. How to survive in hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat. And that's what it is. It's hand-to-hand combat. When I was coaching football this year, and I had a bunch of, you know, seventh graders, and they were young and stuff, and I had to convince them that when you're on the offense or defensive line, it's hand-to-hand combat. It's you take them out, or they're going to take you out. And believe it or not, that's the way it is in our Christian life. It's hand-to-hand combat. And we have to be trained so we know how to move in God. Not necessarily physically, you know, take someone out in combat, But I'm talking about spiritually. And we must undergo that training so that we'll be able to go ahead and survive in that hand-to-hand combat. How to survive behind enemy lines. We are behind enemy lines, aren't we? This world is not our home. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. We're behind enemy lines, you know. And I know there's a lot of symbolism here in training and stuff, and that's the picture that I'm trying to paint tonight. But it's true, we're behind enemy lines. You know, we're just passing through. We're just passing through this world. Amen. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to be hungry." Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever really been hungry? Hunger is something very, very good. Most Americans are usually pretty full, and they don't experience much hunger. But I'm telling you, being hungry is good. It gives you appreciation for food, but also spiritually there is a hunger that God wants us to have. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, I'm sorry, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God, but theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, you go to heaven because blessed are those that hunger and thirst. There's a hunger and a thirst that they have, you know, for the things of God and not for the things of the world and things of their self. But he humbled thee and he suffered thee to hunger and feed thee with manna. Ah, that manna. What is it? That manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. And that's what Deuteronomy was saying, that the children of Israel did not know what this manna was, that he might make known man that does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Man does not live by bread alone or food, but man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is not our physical life with life that is flowing through our bodies, the blood and stuff like that. That is not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a spiritual life. He's talking about the life of God, the Zoe life, that man liveth by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is the spiritual life that he is talking about here. We survive by every word that's in that Bible. We survive by every word that God speaks to us, every word from God, because it is in the Word. It is in the Word that God speaks to us is all that we need for life. Did you hear that? Every word that God speaks to us, that we hear, when we hear that word, everything that we need for life is in that word. Everything. The power, the understanding, the wisdom, everything. There is nothing lacking. Everything. Man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is a tremendous truth. And we're going to look at another verse here in a minute that will emphasize that. But God planned eternal life into the first man, but man brought himself into eternal death. Isn't that amazing? God wanted eternal life for man. He built eternal life into man, but man chose eternal death. But God redeemed that situation by providing for every man the wherewithal that can bring him out of death into an eternal life. And that is not living forever, that eternal life. And we will live forever, but that is not the eternal life that he's talking about now. And that was his dear son, Jesus Christ, God's training ration, God's training ration. Amen. Amen. A lot of people are waiting to die and go to heaven to have eternal life, but that is not what God desires for us today. God desires that we have life eternal now. John 17:3 says, "Now this is life eternal, that ye may know God." Eternal life is knowing God. And we can know God now. And the more that we know God now, the more of God's life we will be able to have. The more we know God now, the more ability we will have to move in God. And we will have life eternal. We will have God's life. Will be a part of us. And the more we know God, then the more we know how He operates and how He functions and how He moves. If we have to wait to have life eternal or eternal life when we go to heaven, some may not make it. Some may not make it. Because you will have to have the life of God to make it to heaven. You will have to have the life of God to make it to heaven. You will have to know, and you know, there's a knowing and, you know, a moving and a training and understanding and all of these things that we have to be able to make it to heaven. And it's just it's a point often that is missed. Amen. Matthew 4:4 was also almost the same exact words that is said in Deuteronomy 8:3. And Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written." And this is Jesus when he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. The wilderness again. Jesus went to the wilderness? Holy cow, can you believe that? It's amazing that in chapter 3 of Matthew, the clouds opened up, the birds were singing, it was wonderful, Jesus was baptized, God the Father spoke, He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." All of that was not enough for Jesus to begin His earthly ministry. God the Father speaking, the Holy Spirit descending on Him as a dove, all of His wonderful things wasn't enough for Jesus to begin His earthly ministry. Because chapter 4 says that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. He went to the wilderness, just like you and I go to the wilderness, so that we can learn. So there's a training program, and Jesus was being trained here when the different temptations. And here in Matthew 4:4, He says, "But He answered and said to them, it is not written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Again, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God gave manna, a bread of life, to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy. Well, here, God has given us the bread of life. Also, a word from God. In Matthew 4:4, He's given us the bread of life also. And we'll talk about that bread of life in a minute. But it's very, very important that we, you know, that we must be able to hear God speak to us. As I said, when we hear God speak to us, we hear His word. Everything in the hearing that we need is contained in that word. Everything. There is nothing lacking in that hearing. Romans 10:17 says this, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so a lot of people expect to hear someone preach or hear the Bible on tape or whatever and expect to get faith. Well, that will never happen. It will never happen. Because that happens every Sunday. How many people go to church and they hear preaching and I mean all this and they don't have any faith. You know, they leave, you know, faithless, you know. But I promise you, when you hear a word from God, so Romans 10:17 in the Greek says this, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. In the King James, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But in the Greek, which is a lot closer to what, I believe the Lord wants in the text, and that's why I like the Greek text, is faith cometh by hearing a word from God. So when we hear God speak to us, when God can get through to us, when He can get us quiet and you know, get us hungering and thirsting after Him, then He'll speak to us, and we will hear Him. How easy is it, Maria, to do God's will when He tells you what to do?
It's easy.
It's easy. It's easy. When we can stop and we can hear God tell us what to do, it's easy because now we know it's coming from God, but more importantly, He has energized you with everything that you need to do it. Everything. In the hearing comes the faith, comes the power, comes the boldness, comes the quickening, comes the wisdom, comes everything. Everything, because God provides everything. He provides everything for us. There's nothing He doesn't provide for us. He provides a home and a house and spirit, everything. Everything. And all we have to do is just hear Him. Hear Him. It's the same way when we were raising children, right? We're raising children. When they heard mom and dad speak, boy, they knew. Boom. And they got it. And they knew. Romans 10:17. Powerful, powerful verse. Some parting thoughts. He becomes the living word. The word that imparts life to the dead. And that life that He's parting to the dead is not a dead person per se. And it could be though. But He's talking about someone that was dead in sin. Someone that is dead in sin. And now when they hear the word of God, then life now is being imparted to them. And they're being raised from the dead. That could be a physical death, but it's probably more a spiritual death. Once we hear the word of God, once we take that in and we internalize the word of God, and we hear from heaven, we hear from God, then that which was dead in us now comes alive. Wow. That is the true bread. That is the true bread. It's not the manna. It's not the manna. It's not the manna. This is the true bread. Whenever John uses the word true, he is referring to that which is real in an eternal sense. And also, when John uses the word true there, John always, truly, he's always projecting that out of the physical realm into the spiritual realm. So when John was using the word bread, the true bread, he wasn't talking about some bread. We're going to have some bread a little later. We're going to have some Romanian spread that we brought back you can try. So that's bread. But John wasn't talking about that bread. He was talking about the bread of life. The true bread. The spiritual bread. Wow. Wow, the true bread. Amen. Amen. He's referring to that which is real in an eternal sense. The real, the spiritual, the eternal bread. John 1:14 said that Jesus became flesh and He dwelt among us. Wow, the bread of life, Jesus, John 1, became flesh and He dwelt among us. And we saw the glory. We saw His glory and His truth. Wow. He became flesh. He became the true bread. not the manna. He became the bread. And He dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the Son. Jesus was fed by the Father. God provided for Him as He lived and He ministered. John 4:32 says, "But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Was that heavenly food? That could have been. Amen. And Jesus was provided for, and so are we. The Father provided for Jesus, and the Father will always provide for us. Amen? Amen? Our Heavenly Father will feed us too. If the Heavenly Father considers the lilies of the field, and He feeds the birds of the air, then we have to believe that God loves us more than He does flowers and birds. And He does. He made us. He breathed His life into us. He loves us more than birds. And He loves the birds and He loves the plop and all that. But He loves us more. And we got to believe that He's going to take care of us and He's going to feed us. Amen? John 6, 55-57. Some kind of hard verses to look at. But if you can follow what I've been saying so far, then these verses will really, really come alive. For my flesh is meat indeed. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is not talking about His physical flesh, not His physical flesh. Jesus is the bread of life. John 1:17, we beheld His glory. The glory, right, became flesh. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. Wow. If we can eat of that bread of life and we can drink of His blood, the blood is the life. That's where the life of the body is. If we can eat of His flesh, if we can eat that manna, that bread, if we can eat of that and drink of Him, then we will dwell in him, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall be lived by me. So if we can eat of that bread of life, then we will be able to dwell with him. So if we do not eat, the reverse truth is also true. If we do not eat of that bread of life, if we do not drink of his blood, then we do not dwell with him. We do not. We lie, and the truth is not in us. Now, when Jesus said this, he said this to a crowd of 5,000 people, and they were wanting this belly to be filled. They said, "Jesus, do another miracle. We want more food. We just had lunch. You just took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you made us dinner. Now it's time for supper." And Jesus said, "No, okay, I gave you some food. Now I want to give you some spiritual food." And you know what the Bible says? It says they walked no more with them. Because they said, "Oh, that's too hard to understand. That's too hard to understand." And they walked away from him. 5,000. The only people left was probably the disciples. They were going, "What in the world is he talking about?" But I'm here to tell you, if we can eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, then we will be able to dwell with him. We will be able to tabernacle with him. We will be able to be a part of him. And nothing then will be impossible to us. 4 times in the Bible, it says that nothing shall be impossible to us. We will speak to a mountain and cast it into a sea, and nothing shall be impossible. Well, when is nothing impossible to us? Only when we dwell with him. Only when we're eating of him. When we're taking a little bit of Christ and breaking that off and just eating of his spirit. Just eating of it, of him. Eating of his goodness. That's when nothing is impossible. When we're eating of him, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. This provision of life, otherwise men shall not live. Eat and live. Eat and live. When it is time to dine or sup, the good soldier always, always receives their portion. Amen. Eating what is needed to continue their training program. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." That word, a full age there in the Greek, is mature. Mature. Even those who have reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is productive training. This is productive training, having their senses exercised through use. The only way, as I said, you'll ever be able to know if you have achieved your training, objectives in your life is when you're tested by that. And so when you are exercised with good and evil, when you touch good and then you touch evil, or you know good and then when you know evil, when you touch them both, then you will know, and how you react to those two, you will know if you have achieved the training that God wants in your life. Not only if you only just touch good, everything's okay, but when you accidentally do something wrong, when you fall short, you actually do something wrong, you go, "Oh Lord, oh no, forgive me," and you touch it, and you go away from that, then you have learned, that lesson. Amen. Hebrews continues there, for when the time we ought to be teachers, you have need of that to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And of course, the first principles of the oracle God is salvation, right? That's the elementary, functions of salvation, is when we first come to salvation. And then you can see that in Hebrews, it talks about then the baptisms and laying on of hands and all of this stuff. Amen. "And are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." This is a lack of success in their training. And so, in other words, Paul was talking to the writer of and I believe it to be Paul, of the church at Hebrews, was talking about those that, those teachers, those Christians, they've been training, And now they've been training so long, they ought to be teachers by now. They've been in church for 20 or 30 years, and now they should be able to stand up and teach what they have learned. But that's not what's going on. They have fallen from those first principles of the oracles, and now they are in need of milk. They are babes. They've been learning, but never learning. They've been training, but they have not been learning the lessons, which is very, very sad. I see that often in a lot of church. A lot of people that are in church and, you know, they just go to church year after year after year, and they never learn anything. They never learn anything. They just go to church. It's an activity. It's Sunday's time to go to church, and they go to church. But there's a lesson that God wants to teach them. And then in their life, God wants to get them alone through dealings and judgments in their life and teach them things. But they never learn those lessons. But they should be teaching by now. Because they've been, you know, they've been in training for 30 or 40 years, and now they should be teaching, but they're not teaching because they haven't learned the lessons, and they can only drink milk and not of strong milk. These are times in training enough to bring about the ability to eat strong meat. God is after us in our training program, as He was with the children of Israel, to get us to where we can eat strong meat, where we could cut our teeth, drink our milk, cut our teeth, and then be able to work on some tough meat. Because if you can eat meat, then you can start growing muscle. If you can't eat meat, then you're not going to be able to grow muscle. You can't grow muscle by drinking milk. Milk will not put muscle on you. You need to eat meat. And that's what Paul was using, that analogy. God is after us in our training program to where we'll be able to eat meat, eat that strong viscal for our body. But they are still in the milk, still unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why? Because lack of proper response to God's training program. They were in training, they were in school, but they never learned the lessons. They were learning, but never, ever learning. And they were messing up the balance of the diet that the word by mixing pollutants with it. We must respond to God's training in our life. We must respond to God's training in our response, because God's training in our life, His purpose, is for us to be able to become mature, solid men and women of God, able to handle responsibility in this world, leading people to Christ, doing the things that we need to do. And unless we, you know, unless God can work that in us, then we'll be babes. Always sitting there needing our spiritual diaper changed, always causing problems in the church, always doing all of these things, just causing headaches for pastors and, you know, priests and everyone. It's just a mess. Just messing up program. We need to be learning and ever learning. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for this teaching, Father, Lord. Lord, we thank You for this time, Father, Lord God. Lord, I know it was kind of a symbolic teaching, Father, Lord God, using the boot camp and training, Father, Lord God, but it really fit the bill, Father, Lord God. Lord, help us to be learning and ever learning, Father. Lord, help us to be able to develop meat, Father, Lord, strong meat in our lives, Father, Lord. Stay away from the milk. Milk when we need it, Father, Lord, but help us to grow, Father. Therefore, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God, for all of Your many blessings and for this word, Father, Lord God. Lord, we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. We give You the honor and the praise and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.